From my physical sight. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habibullah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Hadith. As usual, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will discuss few beautiful ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and shed some light on those ahadith. First hadith which we are going to discuss, read and understand is from Kitab al-Zakat. عن ابن عباس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معاذا إلى اليمن فقال إنك تأتي قوما أهل كتاب فادعهم إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فأعلمهم وأن الله قد فرض عليهم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله قد فرض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم واتق دعوة المظلوم فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith mubarakah is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. It is reported by Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma that surely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu towards Yemen and said to him, you are going to the people of book, Ahl Kitab, and you should invite them towards the evidence. And what is that evidence? Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. That shahada. That there is no worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. He is the messenger of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. And if they follow you in that, if they obey you in that, then teach them that during the day and the night there are 5 salats which are made fard, obligatory. And if they accept that, then teach them that zakat is fard upon them, zakat is obligatory upon them, which will be taken from their rich ones from the wealthy people and would be returned towards their poor ones. And if they accept that, then refrain from best of their wealth and be away and fear from the dua of an oppressed person, because between the dua of an oppressed person, a mazloom, and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no veil, there is no curtain. Literal meaning of zakat is purification, and it also means growth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The one who purified himself, he succeeded. So tazakka is from the word zakat, which is used in the meaning of purification. We also use a word tazkiyah nafs, purification of your nafs, your own self, from the same root word. Now, because of the barakat of zakat, person's self is purified from the impurity of stinginess, from bukhl. That is the reason that zakat is called zakat, because it gives you purification. It gives purification to yourself and it gives purification to your wealth as well. And the other meaning of zakat is growth. So when you take your 2.5% out from your wealth, or there are other nisab in, for example, in crops, in agriculture, sometimes even 10%, sometimes even 20%. And in animals, there's a different standard and nisab. So when you take that out, it actually brings barakah in your sustenance and in your wealth. Apparently, it might look that you have lost something, some amount has been decreased. But in reality, it would increase, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give barakah in that. And we have to trust that and we have to believe in that. And the sabab, the reason of zakat is mal-e-nami. Mal-e-nami is that wealth which grows, which has the potential to grow. And its conditions are Islam, person must be a Muslim, he must be an independent person. Sanity, bulugh, which is the age of puberty, and being free from debts. That is the reason that zakat is not farz upon a disbeliever, zakat is not farz upon a child, zakat is not farz upon a slave, zakat is not farz upon insane person. There are actually four types of wealth upon which zakat is farz. Gold and silver, that's one category. Goods in trade, that is second category. Those animals which graze in the jungle, in no man's land, you don't buy food for them. They go out, they graze, they eat, they come back with full stomach. And produce of your farms, your agriculture. So these are four things upon which zakat is fard. And as I said in the beginning, 2.5% on gold and silver and on goods in trade, but there are different standards for animals and for the produce of your farming. And if anyone needs to know the details, detail is mentioned in the books of fiqh, or contact any of the Darul Ifta of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and you will get the detail of that. And then we learn in this hadith mubarakah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Ma'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he sent him to Yemen. And he sent him as governor of Yemen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself came out up to that point, Thaniyatul Wada', which was a point in Madinatul Munawwara where you normally see off your guests or receive your guests. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out with him up to that point, because he was going on a very important mission to show him his love, his confidence, and show him importance, that you are very important and you are going on a very great mission. So Sarkari Du Alam sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to sit on his horse or conveyance, whether he had camel or horse or mule, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went by foot. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Ma'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that now you are going and you are migrating, you are making hijrat. You will now only come and visit my grave. So when you come back, you will not find me. And Hazrat Ma'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried a lot with that thought, with that feeling that I will not have the chance to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. And keep in mind that Hazrat Ma'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not going to make jihad in Yemen, because Yemen was already in the control. Yemen was already conquered, so there was no need to go and make jihad. He was being sent as governor for that area. Now in this hadith mubarakah, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam advised Hazrat Ma'adh bin Jabal that you will see Ahli Kitab and then give them da'wah of shahada, offer them Islam, offer them kalima tayyiba, so they can endorse and testify that and they can become Muslims, and then gradually start with other things. You see how beautiful the order that you see in this hadith mubarakah. If they accept this, then go for next. If they accept that, then go for next. If they accept that, then go for next. In Yemen, there were lots of Ahle Kitab, Christians, Jews. Although there were idol worshippers as well, but because Ahle Kitab are better than idol worshippers, therefore their name is mentioned specifically in this hadith mubarakah. Otherwise, the da'wat has to be for everyone. And ulama ikram have said that a mushrik, we should offer him La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because he does not believe in oneness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and he does not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he needs to believe in both. And those who believe in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, muwahhid kuffar. So they believe in one part, they need to believe in other part. And we need to offer them Muhammadur Rasulullah. So they already believe in Allah, they already believe in oneness of Allah. So what they're not believing in order to become believers, and that is the Risalat, Prophethood, and the Messengerhood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Shami rahmatullah ta'ala has written that when you try to revert a person into Islam, then you should let him accept and acknowledge that which he used to refute in the state of kufr. That is the way of making him a Muslim. For example, if he believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, or he has a son, then when he wants to become Muslim, you have to specifically ask him to say that, "I now believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have son." You cannot just generally tell him to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So you need to identify what type of kufr he has. And he has to make a declaration against that kufr. Once he makes a declaration against that kufr, that is the proper way and the method converting someone into Islam and offering him Islam. From this hadith mubarakah, we learn some wonderful madni pulse. Number one, that kuffar are not duty bound for shari'i ahkam, for shari'i rules. For example, namaz, hajj, zakat, fasting is not compulsory upon them. Why? Because they're not Muslims. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that sequence to Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu. First, offer them kalima, and if they become Muslims, then teach them namaz, then teach them sadaqah, then teach them other ibadat. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that kuffar should not be forced to become Muslims. And this is not the nature of our religion. This is not the nature of Islam. Muslims never force other people to become Muslims. Therefore, this concept that Islam was spread by sword is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, La ikraha fi deen. There is no force in the deen. There are many places in the world where Muslims have ruled hundreds of years, but still you find majority of the people non-Muslims. If Islam believed in force, then couple of centuries are good enough to convert the whole country when Muslims are rulers and they have the power and they have the army. In fact, Islam gives freedom to other religions if they want to construct their own places of worship. They are allowed to do that. They can have their own personal laws implemented upon their personal issues, marriages, divorces, etc., etc. So we learn from this hadith mubarakah that there is no force in Islam. If people want to accept with their own will and desire, they're most welcome. And if they don't want to, there's no force upon them. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that propagation, tabligh, da'wah, invitation towards the path of goodness, towards Islam, must be with softness and with beautiful exemplary character. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Quran Kareem, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal ma'izatil hasana. That call people, invite people towards the path of your Lord, bil hikmah, with wisdom, well, Ma'izatul Hasana, with beautiful advices, with beautiful words, which are appealing words, which are sensible words. Your discussion must be sensible. When you talk, person must pay attention that you are talking sense and you are reasonable. So therefore, a da'i, a muballigh, should prepare himself. He must know his product. He must know what he is going to offer and what he is going to explain. Like a salesman. A successful salesman is that who has product knowledge. Any question arises about his product, he is able to explain and he is able to answer. We have these responsibilities. In fact, every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a da'i. As it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Deliver on my behalf, even if it is one ayat, or one sign of Islam, or one masla, or one issue of Islam. So every Muslim is a representative of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to prepare ourselves and give da'wah and invite people towards the path of goodness, towards the path of Islam. And we also learn that it is sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to propagate Islam, to give da'wah of Islam, to invite towards Islam the dhimmi kuffar. Dhimmi kuffar are those kuffar who live in a Muslim state and they have accepted and acknowledged the rule of Muslims in that state. They don't fight. They're not rebels. And they pay jizya, which is the tax specially described for the non-Muslims. They are called as dhimmi. And their rights are protected in the state of Islam. So to give them da'wah, to invite them towards the deen of Islam is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Place like Pakistan or many other Muslim countries, there are non-Muslims as well. So it is our responsibility that we should approach them, we go to them and give da'wah of Islam. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah that rulers, high level officers in government, they should not only stay busy with the arrangements of government, they should also go out and spread the deen. They should also give da'wah, they should also propagate, they should also give neki ki da'wat. A ruler should also be a muballigh. A ruler should also be a preacher of Islam. And we learn from this hadith mubarakah that rulers and high level officers, directors of departments, ministers, people at that positions, they should know about Islam. They should know about religion. If they don't know, how would they propagate? Whereas propagation is their responsibility. So, rulers in Muslim states must have enough Islamic knowledge, dini knowledge, that they can do propagation of Islam. But it is very unfortunately that we don't see that happening anywhere in the world. Rulers are gone in one side and they have left that work for the ulama alone. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, ulama are doing it and they will continue doing it. But it is also the responsibility of rulers, people with power. Everybody should be involved in da'wah. Everybody should be involved in propagation of Islam. And now we learn in this hadith mubarakah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal that if they accept Islam, they become Muslims, then teach them about namaz. The word which is used, fa'alimhum, you should teach them. So this does not mean just talk about it, or just give a speech and leave them in the ledge and let them try their own and asking from here and there, wrong informations being provided to them, and they end up learning wrong ways. No, you should teach them. So whatever is required to perform salat, you should take the responsibility. They must know how to recite Quran properly. They must know what to be recited in Qiyam, in Ruku, in Sajda, in At-Tahiyyat. What is required to purify themselves, because that is part of education of namaz. That is part of teaching about salat. So this is how we should do. When we want to be in the field of propagation, then we must be ready to educate people about salat and other ibadat. It should not happen that you make them read shahada, make them Muslims, and then forget about them. And it happens at many places, in many countries, that people go out, talk about Islam, tell people about the beauty of Islam, convince them, and once they become Muslims, then there's no follow-up. And unfortunately, many of those people, they go back to the state of kufr, and this is even more dangerous than what they were before. Because now they become murtad, and murtad is the worst kind of disbelief and kufr. And here the word in is used in Hadith Mubarakah, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا, many places. So, in is in the meaning of إِذَا. It means that when they learn about namaz, then teach them about zakat. Now that's the sequence. Don't put pressure upon them too much. First thing first. As soon as they become Muslims, what they need to do immediately is to perform salat. They don't need to pay zakat immediately. Because zakat, you must have wealth, and then 1 year must be passed on it, and then only zakat will become obligatory. Zakat, when they are sahabe istita'at, and there is a particular time in the year that you can only go for hajj. And then, of course, one needs to learn about hajj. So, how beautifully in Hadith Mubarakah, that when they learn about namaz, then teach them about the ahkam of zakat. So your tabligh must be with a slow style, not too many things at one time. That person feels that it's too much for me, or he wants to run away, or he loses interest, or it's no more appealing for him. So we should not corner the person in such way. So Hadith Mubarakah says that teach them first, when they learn it nicely, then go to the next. And we learn from this Hadith Mubarakah that Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was told that take zakat from the rich ones, and then return it to the poor ones of their own. So it means that give them that impression, let them know, let them understand that we are not collecting a tax from you which we will take it to our capital, which is Madinatul Munawwara, as normally it happens, that when your revenue departments, they collect taxes, It goes to the treasury, to the fund of government. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, do not let them feel that way. So from the beginning, tell them, why are we taking zakat from you? Because we want to return that money to your poor ones. Those who live within your country, within your city, within your location. So this is a very beautiful way of giving the message and preparing people to take out and, you know, put their hands into their pockets and dig deep and become charitable. Because with the da'wat, there is encouragement, there is targheeb in it. Why are we taking zakat from you? Because you have poor people within your society and we want to help them. So this is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from this hadith mubarakah, we learn some beautiful masalas. One is that we cannot pay zakat to a disbeliever. Because the hadith says, we will take from your rich ones who are Muslims, because zakat is on Muslims only, not on non-Muslim. So taking zakat that we are talking here, the rich people, is Muslim rich people. And then hadith says that we will return it to your poor one. And of course, those poor one are Muslims as well. So that tells you very clearly that zakat can only be used for Muslims, not for non-Muslims. And there are many people that they take zakat money, they cook food, they go into poor areas. Especially it happens in Africa quite often. And then they're busy feeding poor people, and amongst them are Muslims and non-Muslims. Zakat is not paid in this way. And even if they feed Muslims only, still zakat would not be paid. The reason is that one condition of zakat, which is ownership, that is missing. This is actually, you call people, if you're feeding them on your table, you know, in your own arrangements, that's called hiba. That's not called ownership. So therefore, when the ownership is not proven, zakat would not be paid. And especially when you're giving to the non-Muslims, then there's no possibility. So from this hadith mubarakah, we understand very clearly that zakat can only be paid to Muslims, not to non-Muslims. And we learn that if there's no real Sharia reason, then zakat of one place should not be transferred to another place. Zakat of one place should be used for the development of that area. It is the right of poor. It's a poor due. And if there are many poor in that society, and they are Muslims, then why should you take your zakat elsewhere, to another area, to another city, to another country? So it is important for Muslims to realize that they should try to get rid of poverty with the help of zakat from Muslims within their own countries and cities and the areas. And we also learned that a rich person who is sahib-e-nisab, he cannot take zakat. Zakat is taken from the rich ones. So they're not given zakat. And zakat is given to the poor people. However, if there's need, then zakat can be transferred to another area, to another country. For example, if there's flood, or there are other problems, or there are institutions which are busy giving knowledge of deen, and in your area those type of institutions are not there And at this age and time, we need ulama, so it's a need. So then you can fund that particular place with the zakat money, because now Sharia need is established and it arises. And we also learn from this hadith mubarakah, and ulama ikram have said that you can send your zakat to another place which is holier than your place where you're living, which is blessed place, which is auspicious place. For example, sending some of your zakat to Makkatul Mukarrama, to Madinatul Munawwara. So the poor from that place, from that city can be helped. This is also allowed. Even other cities of great nisba, great relationship, like Baghdad Sharif, like Ajmer Sharif, or like Babul Madina Karachi, with the nisbat of Faizani Madina, with the nisbat of Amiri Ahle Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Qudsiyah. So in the city of my Piro Murshid, for example, if a murid decides that poor can be helped, that is fine, that is allowed. The ulama ikram have given permission for that. And then it is said in Hadith Mubarakah that do not take best of their wealth. What it means that when you're taking specially animals, so do not go for the best one, go for the average. So this is actually the teachings to Amilin, those who are appointed by Muslim state to collect sadaqat, sadaqat-e-wajibah, zakat, fitra, etc. So they are ordered to take the middle ones, the average ones, not the best one. So in this hadith mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told Hazrat Ma'ad bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that do not go for their best animals, go for the average, because that is the standard and that is the rule. And then at the end of hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Ma'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is a lesson for every hakim, for every ruler, that O Ma'ad, keep in mind that fear one thing, and that is the dua of mazloom. That is the dua of oppressed person, because between the dua of an oppressed person and Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no curtain. That means it reaches immediately and it is accepted. And why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specially gave this advice to Hazrat Ma'ad bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala? Because he was going as a ruler. And ruler, because of authority, because of power, and because of making decisions in many matters, many a time they get influenced with other things and they end up favoring, they end up making wrong decisions, or sometimes they take bribery. Then what they do? They oppress someone. And then of course the oppressed person, where will he take his plea? Where will he go and cry? So he will come in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and he will cry. And his dua, his baddua will make an impact, and that person would suffer in some way or the other. We might not notice, but that poor man's, mazloom's dua would be accepted, and this person has to face the music and he has to face the consequences of his wrongdoings. There is lesson for every hakim, for every ruler, to follow upon this, to follow this golden and beautiful advice of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is generally the time that people pay zakat, so they must know some basics and some principles. In the month of Rajab and in the month of Shaaban and in the month of Ramadan, although it is not necessary, that these are the months of zakat. That's a misconception, that's a misunderstanding. The day you became sahib-e-nisab and zakat became fard upon you, on that day next year, according to lunar calendar, exactly at that time, at that moment, zakat becomes fard upon you. It could be Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani, Jamadil Awwal, Jamadil Thani, Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, Shawwal, whichever month it might be. So people need to remove that misconception and that misunderstanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and chance that if we are sahib-e-nisab, we must calculate our zakat properly. We must take interest. This is ibadat. This is not an option. We must work hard as we work hard to check our wealth when we have to pay money to the tax man, when we have to pay tax. But people don't take that much effort and trouble to work their assets and to work their wealth in order to pay zakat properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill all the obligations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us responsible and practical Muslims. Alhamdulillah, with the help and the work of Dawat Islami, more and more Muslims are learning about these fundamental issues. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, Dawat Islami's publisher Maktabatul Madina has printed a beautiful book on Zakat, and that is Kitabu Zakat of Darul Ifta Ahli Sunnah. And there are so many beautiful masail, practical issues affect people and they involved with. They raise those questions and the muftis and our experts from Darul Ifta, they have given their opinions and rulings. It's a wonderful for everyone to read. So learn about it. It's a fard duty. So you must know exactly what you're doing is right, is accurate, and it is correct. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. You are alive by Allah, you are alive, oh you who's here.